We're going into message number 4 on being led by the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't had the chance to hear or be caught up on it, they're all online or on the app, and go from there. So I'm just going to catch us up just a smidgen from what we talked about last week. Last week we talked about the Word of God being the most important place in which we hear God. And the reason is because it keeps us in balance. If something that we're sensing from God doesn't line up with Scripture, like it's contradictory, then we know it's not from Him. In the same way, if something that we're hearing from the Lord or sensing from Him is against or opposite of what His character or His nature is, it also cannot be something that would be of God. It just isn't going to work that way. So we talked about logos, meaning a general word for all people, and so the Bible would fall into that. And we talked rhema. This is a specific word for a specific person at a specific time. And so if you have not, if that doesn't make any sense to you, you're like, I got to get a refresher, gladly go online and take a listen there, and that would be great. Today, we're going to look at the ways in which God speaks, other ways in Scripture, and not just how He speaks, but the most common ways as well in how we talk about it here. So we'll kind of launch our way into this thing and see where we find it. So I've asked the question many times before. There's some new people. What are ways that you know of? We're going to have a little dialogue as if we're in a little classroom. How many ways or what are some ways that you know of that God speaks in Scripture? Dreams.
Still small voice.
Pictures. Visions. Yep. I missed it.
Angels.
Nature, creation, prophets,
Jesus.
Tongues.
Donkeys.
I missed it. Donkeys? Well, donkey, singular. I'm pretty sure it's just singular donkey. That's why I'm preaching today. That was... Yeah, I came about that naturally. Any others? Someone else said something, I missed it. Burning bush, miracles. I know there's one more. Parables, thank you.
Riddles.
Deep in your soul. Okay, there's ways in which God speaks. And so today, the whole point of this message is, one, we're going to look at the different ways God speaks, but it's not so that you all walk out of here trying to like grasp all these things, but it's actually puts us in a place of perhaps wonder, or some of you have had experiences with God, maybe you haven't walked with Him very long, and you wonder, am I nuts? And you're going to realize, maybe you're not crazy, maybe God is speaking. There's been people that thought they were nuts throughout Scripture, and then they realized it was God getting their attention. It's very different. I want you to marvel at God's creativity in how and the variety of ways in which He wants to speak and lead and interact with His creation, because it seems like it's never ending on the way He does it. And I want you to deepen your relationship, not just with God, but with each other. And so one of the ways we're going to look at this is by the great gift of asking questions of God for Him to interact and dialogue with us, and asking questions with each other. This is one of the ways in which we grow deep in relationship. And so, God, would You give clarity of word? Would You help Your servant today to be clear in the message, God, for today? Help me to be sensitive to Your Spirit, and would You translate for me today, God? Holy Spirit, would You teach and reveal and remind and highlight the things that each person needs individually, God? Where there's skepticism or doubt, God, I pray that there would be faith. Where there's fear and panic, God, I pray that there would be joy and love. Holy Spirit, please, would You direct and lead? I ask this in Your holy name. Amen. Hebrews 1 verse 1, I shared this verse last week. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. I want to highlight many times and in many ways. I really like it. This is what we're looking at today. God is speaking, and there's so many ways. I don't remember if someone said the writing on the wall. Can you imagine if every time God spoke, He just wrote on the wall? So we're in here having a service, and all of a sudden just stop, and He just starts to write on the wall. I think that'd be rad. Job 33:14, God speaks in different ways, and we don't always recognize His voice. And that's something that we're going to try to discern and understand a little bit more here today. So as we look through it, we're going to look at scriptural stories and some personal stories and ones of other people. We're going to look at it, and I hope that your faith or your excitement or your joy in who God is going to grow. So the first one we're going to look at is an audible voice. There's stories in Scripture about God speaking, not innerly, but like you hear someone like you hear me speaking to you today. So the one that we often hear of in the Old Testament is a young boy, and he hears what? Samuel, yeah, let's all try together. Samuel. Oh yeah, you guys are very Bible literate. Yeah, so in 1 Samuel chapter 3, there's a young boy, and he's with Eli the prophet, but sleeping, and he hears a voice, Samuel, Samuel. And he thinks it's Eli calling him, and so a few times this has to happen. I just find it interesting. One, it's audible. Two, it sounded like another person's voice, which should be just a hint or a clue or something for us. In Acts 9, we have something with Paul on the road to Damascus, right? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's an audible voice that's going on. But are there any modern stories of where this happens? Yes, in fact, we probably have a half a dozen people that have told me of experiences in this church of God speaking audibly to them. So coming out of today, what I'm hoping you're going to do in your cell groups or in coffee time and whatever, that you're going to ask, has God spoken to you? And how is he? Has he showed you this? Have you ever heard an audible voice? Or do you know God? And I want you to grow and dig into knowing each other and the walk. Francis Schaeffer, he's an evangelical Christian theologian. And he's passed away in the 80s. He passed away. And this is from his story. And he says this, quote, his young family needed temporary housing during a transition time but had little money. They needed a minor miracle from the Lord. In prayer, Schaeffer asked God, where can we live, Lord? Please show us. Immediately, he heard an audible voice. Now again, this is one story of his entire life, just one story. Not a voice in his mind or from another human, for he was alone. And he heard, the voice simply said, Uncle Harrison's house. Though perfectly clear, the answer made no sense. His uncle was living in the house. It was very unlikely he would offer his house for them to live in. Yet the voice was so direct, he felt he had to obey it. So he wrote his uncle, not email, letter, I know, weird, asking him what he planned to do with his house for the next year. He was astonished when his uncle replied that he planned to live with his brother for the next year and would like to offer his house free of rent to Schaeffer and his family for the year. Just a story. You have your stories. It's just, I find this fascinating on what this looks like. Anyway, there's lots of stories. I used to spend a majority of the reading that I did, reading these types of testimonies and stories because I just wanted my faith to be propelled, and now I just get to talk with most of you about it, which is great. Now the way God speaks, angels. We heard lots of stories in the Bible. Abraham, Joshua, Balaam, Samson. Remember Samson? His parents. It's often joked about that his mom was never mentioned in terms of what her name is, just Manoah's wife. She had a clear angel visitation which changed her trajectory regarding her son. You can read about that in Judges. New Testament, we have Philip and we have Cornelius, both in the book of Acts, where they had an angelic visitation. But then, looking in modern day, there's so many stories. I have a friend whose grandma had this encounter. She said that an angel often came and sat with her in the home where she was staying, came and sat with her and visited with her at nighttime. She was all alone. An angel would come and visit. You're like, what? One time she testified that this angel helped her get dressed because she was too weak to get dressed. Is it true? Is it not? We'll get to that in just a second. There's lots of fakes on the internet too. If you look online, there's this video of a person on a bike, and then all of a sudden a figure comes ripping along, grabs them, moves them out of the way, and I don't know if it's real or not. It seems to be just a conspiracy or people advertising a video game or whatever it would be. But I think what's interesting is that our culture wants there to be paranormal, supernatural things, do we not? We're like, oh, aliens on another planet. Ah, I wonder if there's life on Mars. And we as Christians can be all weird and be like, oh, that's stupid. God would never do that. No, actually, we want it. It's telling you that a culture wants to know that the supernatural is legitimate and real, and they want to experience it. So this is part of what is going on, and we have this, all of these things. I think what they're screaming is, I just want to know, is God real? I think we have this thing inside that we know. Some years ago, I led a lady to the Lord, and she had a spirit that she claimed lived in her home that talked with her all the time. And this particular spirit, she would have claimed it wasn't evil. It was just a spirit that was in her room. But when she gave her life to the Lord, the spirit was no longer in the room and she no longer visited there. But who she visited with after that was the Holy Spirit. And again, I don't know how evil the other spirit was. I assume it was not an angel. But interesting that if demons are fallen angels, and even there they are revealing themselves, you see that this oh, in this world it works. And when people say, I spoke with a demon or a ghost or whatever, you can see how it could be there, but I'm just trying to articulate. There's another dimension and world, a supernatural one, a second heaven that we don't often look to or understand, or we want everything to be natural because it's more controlled, I think. I had a friend some years ago, his family was immigrating from South America. They were supposed to come to Canada. They had no identification and passports when they landed, and they didn't know how they were going to get through the Canadian border. And as they're waiting in line, a good little Mennonite family, they're all standing there. I think there's five children. They're just waiting. And a man walks up and calls the parents out by name and says, so-and-so-and-so-and-so, would you come with me? And they just followed, and he walked them past all the customs, brought them to an office, introduced them. They turned around to say thank you, and the person was gone. Angel? They got into Canada. They live here today, and he's a pastor in Ontario today. I was on a mission trip. I was traveling with Seventh-day Slumber and Manic Drive and a few other bands, and we had a semi-trailer with BMX and skateboard gear on it. We were going to go into a bunch of different communities. We were driving in the middle of nowhere between La Paz and Thompson. As we're driving, there happened to be a man just walking down the road. So we stopped the whole caravan, picked him up. He got in the vehicle. Little did we know that that morning there was a girl on our trip. She doesn't skateboard, didn't BMX. And she was like, God, why am I even on the trip? This man comes, we pick him up. He doesn't know any English. He only knows French. There's one person on the bus who knew French. Who was it? The lady, the young lady in the morning who had prayed, said, God, what's my point? The man sat down on the bus and they talked about God the whole time. This man loved Jesus a lot. We get to Thompson. We asked him to come with us, stay with us. And he just walked away. And we were like, is that an angel? It, like, God, did you send someone for her? Like, what does it look like? Some years later, he was walking in front of my house in Steinbach area on the highway. Years later, walking down the highway. You're like, what in the world is he doing here? So I was leaving, but I called one of the guys who was on the trip. I'm like, the angel guy is on the highway right now. Picked him up. They spoke French only. I've seen him about 8 times since. He gave me a flag that I have at my house. I have this flag. And the flag, I can't find it online anywhere. It's unique in every way. And I have no idea what it is, where it's for. But he gave it to me one day. Turns out he knows English. I'm like, how do you know English? I thought you only knew French. We always called him the French angel. But he knew English. And he just cracked some kind of jokes. So I used to get my kids at church. The one or two times he's there, I said, come, you have to talk to him because I don't know French. Later, he's, you remember that guy? I'll show you a photo. I have a photo of him. So is he an angel? I don't know. It's possible, but Scripture teaches something. One, Jesus encountered angels. It says in Matthew 4:11, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. I find that fascinating. And it says in Hebrews 13, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Doesn't really matter if they're angels or not angels. We're actually supposed to entertain strangers and take care of them because you might be even taking care of angels. That's rad. So we have this little Frenchman. Maybe he's an angel. I think it's cool. I have lots of those types of stories, and I wonder about it. There's other ways which you spoke that God speaks in Scripture. Burning bush, the donkey. Again, that's one time. Writing on the wall, fleece. These are just different ways in which God spoke. And so last week what I said is, could you find 30 minutes a day where you just wait on God and see if he would begin to do this, speak inside, to reveal something to you, to wait, to ask him questions and to listen. It's fascinating because many people sent me testimony this week. I got to sit with a couple of you and we got to pray together. Really good. So I want to get to this part. What are the common ways that God speaks so that we hear God? Dreams and visions are clearly some of the most common ways. So this is not a brag time, but how many of you have had a dream that you are almost for certain is from God? Any of you? Now you can look around. If you haven't, go ask them about this encounter. Go and find out. Like, tell me about this. What does it look like? Don't be weird and be like, I shouldn't ask them because I feel unspiritual. No. Go and find out the mystery of God. How many of you have had a vision from God, which is like a picture that he's given you? It's interesting how this works. Old Testament, Joseph, he had a couple dreams. He had a dream that the sun and moon and stars all bowed down to him. It's like, oh, and then he made a boo-boo. He went and told his family, you're all going to bow down to me. That's called bad character. So he needed a significant number of years to get his character in line before he could come second in command. But it was a dream that foretold years earlier that what God was going to do. We have the Magi in the story of Jesus, who had a dream not to go back to Jerusalem because there was a king that wanted to kill Jesus. And so this is part of it. Dreams are vivid. I'll share one with you in just a little bit. Visions are similar, except they're just when we're awake. And so visions are a picture that God might give you, but while you're awake. And so sometimes I ask people, close your eyes and just ask God if he would show you something. Like, he gave us this imagination. Why did God give you an imagination? For what reason? Well, it could be just so that you can remember in multicolor or in this. Like, it could be just that. It could also be that he wants to speak to you this way. We say a picture is worth 1,000 words. How about a movie in your head? Right? No wonder we're all watching movies these days. It's like, it draws us in. My wife, she sees like full-blown movies in full color, and she can read details in her visions. I see really clear. It's just what I see is black. Fully. And then God says, do you see that, son? That's a really nice dark sun, actually. God, I see that. But seriously, that's kind of how it works for me. God appeared to Abraham in a vision, told about the promise of he was going to have a son. Remember the story I shared a couple weeks back about Peter? He's in the upper room, or he's up in a room waiting for dinner, and he has a vision about the blanket coming down with all the animals. And said, don't call unclean what I call clean, and change his whole trajectory for life. It's a way in which God can move us and direct and speak and lead, and this is so good. How many of you remember a guy by the name of Saint Augustine? Any of you ever heard of him before? So this is a really common person in Christian history. And Augustine wasn't always a saint. In fact, he was exactly the opposite of a saint. I was trying to think of a nice word that would describe him, opposite of a saint, and the only nice word I could think of was bozo. I don't know why, that's just what was in my head. Augustine became a professor. He was brilliant and well-known, but he gave himself over to basically a full-time occupation of drunkenness, sexual immorality, and he made it his mission to turn people away from God. This is the saint that we now know today. His mother's name was Monica. Monica prayed all the time, oh God, would you please save my son? When Augustine was 19 years old, Monica had a dream about her son. And the dream was that they were walking hand in hand. Augustine and the mother Monica were walking hand in hand in heaven. And this is something that it spurred her, and she knew this is a dream from God. And so she began to pray all the more fervently because the dream seemed to spur her on that way. But after some more years of praying, what ended up happening is her son became more intelligent, more arrogant, more proud, more committed to evil than ever. So she did what a desperate mother would do, and she tried to enlist a pastor of sorts, a bishop, that would go, a well-respected bishop, to go to meet with the hardened son, Augustine. And the bishop refused, said, no, I'm not going to go. I think it's going to make things worse, which is true. But she just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed, and the man responded and said, woman, it is impossible for the son of those tears to perish. She knew right away it was God speaking to her, a prophetic word. I have him, reminded her of her dream that she had had, and so she was encouraged to continue praying. 9 years after the dream, Augustine is sitting in a garden, still an unbeliever, and he heard an audible voice from God. And the audible voice that he heard sounded like little children that were singing a nursery song, and they were singing, take it and read, take it and read. So he looks around, assuming there's children, and there's no children that are around, and he had never heard that song before. How did he know it was God? He somehow knew it was God. He knew it was a divine command from heaven to open the scriptures. And you take this thing, and there's a lot of scriptures you can turn to when you just do the old point and go, right? You know what passage you came to? Romans 13. Check out the divinity of God. 13, verse 13 and 14. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. And in a moment, a man that was on a trajectory fully against God like Paul in that moment because of divine intervention. Bam, over on this way. He goes down in history as being a saint. I think that's amazing. God spoke back then. It's in the fourth century. God also speaks to those who don't know God in dreams and visions. We shared about it last week that many Muslims, thousands and thousands during Ramadan, meet Jesus in dreams and visions and give their lives to him. God speaks to those too because he doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance and all to know him. I think that's amazing. Peter says this in Acts 2:17, "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." This is what God is doing in these last days. This has been instrumental for me, dreams and visions. I haven't dreamt lots in my previous life. I heard a message similar to this, and I'm like, God, I want to dream, but I never get dreams. So every night, God, please, a dream, please. One night I had a dream that was incredibly vivid, and I knew it was from God. How did I know? I don't know. You just know. I'm going to give you an example before I tell you the dream. Suppose you have a friend who is blind, okay, blind from birth. And you want to try to describe to your friend who's blind what color the carpet at Anchor Point Church is. How would you describe it?
Fabulous.
Fabulous. And they're going to think to themselves, I tasted chocolate and it was fabulous. The carpet must be chocolate. How would you describe a color? Nauseating. And they're going to think of a child that just puked on their face, like, wow, that's really great. It's hard to describe a color if you have no context or experience on what it is. But as soon as you look at the carpet, we all look, we can say, it's kind of an ugly orange. It's like, what's orange? Well, it's, you know, orange, like a pumpkin. Oh, pumpkin orange. Oh, yeah, okay, got it. Experience will tell you what colors are, and then it begins to mean something. It's like music. How do you describe to someone what music is or why music, some music moves you and some music you can't stand? Why does some music, like you can be just like, ugh, you can be grouch, and you put certain music on, you're like, oh yeah, and you get your groove on, and you just cannot not do it, right? Why is it, Christian or not, you all of a sudden you're at a concert, and you just want to get that lighter up, and you're just like, oh, or the cell phone. It's hard to describe, right? It's hard to describe what's going on, but it moves past the logic, and it goes into your soul or your spirit. It goes into this area that's sort of like undescribable, and God is doing something in there. It's like that. It's hard to describe, but when you've encountered God speaking, giving you a dream or a vision, you just know it's him. And when you know it's him, it changes. I had a dream. I was on a bus at a university, and a bunch of leaders were on the bus. And as we were going along, there was all of these students that were trying to climb onto the bus. I was frustrated because they wouldn't get off. Didn't matter how I drove, they just hung on the side of the bus. So finally, in my Superman strength, that was a joke. Because the joke is, you've never seen Superman and me in the same place. Therefore, that's a dad joke. Yeah, it's horrible. You're humoring me, and that's fantastic. Thank you. Be like, that's neat. So all these students are trying to get on. I got out of the bus, and I was going to fight them all because I was so annoyed. And so I grabbed the first one, and they were, like, so weak. I, like, grabbed them, like, oh. I just kind of put them on the ground, and they just sort of stayed there. And I grabbed another one, and I made a literal stack, pile of university students in my dream. So they were done. They just stayed there in this pile. We got on the bus, and we kept driving. Drove, got to a sidewalk, and there was, a taskmaster lady with, like, a stick. I just knew she was a professor. Not that all professors are like that. Had this, and then I saw all of these students in a line, two by two. They stood there, their heads are down, and they just were just walking. Like they were just, whatever she said, they just went. And so I got some people to pray about it, and immediately we began to understand what was going on. And God was revealing what's going on, perhaps, in some of our post-secondary, that our young people, they haven't been taught how do you think and ask questions and wonder and know truth. Like they hadn't learned or hadn't been taught on what this looked like. And so that began a ministry that we started at the university, and Twyla was one of the people that was there. Remember those days? That's when there were some changes that happened in her life, and remarkable in those times. But that was part of it. It was God speaking through a dream. And I can't tell you why that dream and not 100 other ones are from God, but that one I knew. It was like, that one's from God. You just somehow know it goes past it. My wife Kendra, again, she sees like movies. Some of you will see that. I don't. I love dreams because I know it's not something I can conjure. I can't make it up. Perhaps if I watch a scary movie, then I can dream something scary. But if you just go to bed and then, God, would you speak to me even while I sleep? I think it's tremendous. God also speaks through other people. That's why I have a job. I hope. The Holy Spirit gives many speaking gifts. One of them is preaching and teaching. This is a gift that God can use, and he can take it and he can make it hit here. It's not me. It's not my words doing it, but it's when the Spirit is like this one, and he uses preaching and teaching. Romans 10, 14, 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Preachers are very essential for people to hear God's word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, and that word, if you were here last week, that's logos they're talking, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word, logos of men, but what it really is, the word, logos of God, which is at work in you believers. So what he's doing, it's like the preaching, I'm so grateful that you realize it wasn't man speaking, but it was God taking it, and it was a word for the people. Prophesying is a speaking gift. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit, and it's one that's to spur us on. There's lots of examples of this. If the book of Acts is filled with it in particular. In 2006, Kendra and I had a Nigerian pastor couple prophesy over us, and they prophesied that morning. It was a Friday morning. We dug a basement for our house for an addition. They didn't know. We went to this thing, and when they prophesied over us, one of the first things they said, this is our first prophetic word over us, you're going to be building an addition on your house soon. We're like, what the? We just dug the basement this morning. That is crazy. So we're like, okay, now we're listening. Maybe prophecy is real and legit. And part of what we're doing today, church planting, why it's there is because of what they prophesied. You're going to be a church plant, and you're going to plant churches your way. I don't know what my way is, but we're beginning to learn what our way is. We want to be all the ages together geographically. We want to be vulnerable and honest. We want to go deep with one another. We want to know God intimately and respond that way. We're learning some of these things. How about a word of knowledge? This is hearing something from God that you otherwise wouldn't have known unless the Spirit gives it. And on Thursday, I was praying before the service with someone, and also the person said, didn't know even what I was speaking on, but he said, your left ankle, do you have problems with your left ankle? Well, I have an ailment to my body. The root of all of the struggle in my body is my left ankle. I can still run and do stuff, but my ankle's giving me trouble for like 10 years. And I was like, weird, why would God show you? He goes, can I please lay hands on it? Can I pray for you? So it's not healed, but God reminded me, like, Donovan, why do you never ask people to pray for you, for your ankle? I never have. And I had to, God, what's going on? I think instinctively, I'm like, I sort of deserve my ankle to be like this. I beat it up. I did pretty bad things with it. I didn't take care of it. Doctor said, don't go on it. I went on it. Right? So I'm like, somehow instinctively, I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't get people to pray. And if I'm honest, subconsciously, it's like, there's other people who got really big things going on. They need to be healed, not me. And God's like, I have a number of people that can be healed. Like, I can only heal 3 at Anchor Point and 2 at this church. No, it's not how it is. But this is, you begin, and it came from a word of knowledge, and it reminded, and God has been using this now since Thursday. Donovan, don't forget. Then a word of wisdom. Word of wisdom maybe is when you receive a word of knowledge, wisdom to know what do you do with it, right? So this is, again, Joseph could have used the word of wisdom. Big time he could have. And there's the Lord right now. Sorry, that was a really great timing, whoever that is. That's fabulous. But a word of wisdom, and it's so important. And this is Paul, he writes, when he writes a prayer, and the prayer is that they would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's not just revelation to hear from God or to know him. It's wisdom to know what to do with it, which is important. I met with an MLA, the Minister of Education, this last week on Wednesday, and he said this is what he needs the most. Yeah, he needs wisdom to know what hill does he die on? Which things? Like, there's so many things that you could potentially go to try to fight in government, but God, what are you saying? And who do I minister to? And what does that look like? It's a really a beautiful thing and we need it. And then the gift of tongues is still in there as well, and the interpretation. That's receiving a language that you don't previously know and someone else then interprets. But then we get to the still small voice, the most important part. This is by far the most common way in which God speaks, and I'm going to try to describe it in the next 10 minutes to you. 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12, and he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." This is Elijah. The Lord said to him, "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper." Job in Job 26, "Behold, these are but the outskirts of his ways," and how small a whisper. It's how he describes this thing. He's trying to do this, this inner voice. Nehemiah 7, it says, "So my God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles." It's like understanding that God is at work and it's another way. It's like he put it here, and they're trying to describe the color of the carpet, but they're trying to describe God speaking to what's going on. One of the ways that we hear from the Holy Spirit is through thoughts that we receive after asking for wisdom. You ask God a question for wisdom, then thoughts come, and this is like part of the still small voice. James 1, 5 and 6, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." Not it kind of might be, or it sort of, or possibly, it will be given him. "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." So again, there's a discerning process that we go through. If it doesn't line up with this or his character, of course, it's not him. But ask God. It says, if you want wisdom, ask him, and he will give it to you, and it's not dependent on how good you are. It's not like, oh, that one is a bozo. We won't give it to him, right? Like, I won't tell him. No. Any, without reproach, without fault, if you ask for wisdom, he will give it to you. Then it's interesting because often feelings line up with it too. Like there's many stories where there's a feeling, like it's a sense of peace perhaps that God gives. When I got called into ministry, it was like overcome with weeping. And it was like, it was good weeping. I just knew God was there. It was like, you haven't forgotten me. Like you want something. You have a purpose or a plan. And so often there's some of this that goes on as well. I think also when we discern God's voice, when I say it goes, if it goes against his character, like if it's mean and aggressive and like a bully and smacking you down, it's not him, because he's gentle and he's kind and he's loving. Luke 24, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they describe it, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road?" Maybe it's conviction, John 16, or a prompting, or God gives you an impression, or a vision, or a dream. These are ways in which he does it. Right? Again, like the music notes, the more you spend time with him, you go, "Ah, that's my king." James 3:17 describes the nature of God, or the nature of the wisdom that comes from above. "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." I like that. I like it that it even says open to reason, because that means you can discuss it with him. It's not like him just, it's like, no, you can work it through. God, what do you want me to do? I want this. But God, I don't understand. How is that going to work? Like, what about my family? What about this? God, and you can walk it through. It's open to reason. It's not just weird. It's not just, it's reasonable that we get to sort it through. First Corinthians 2:16, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You're a Christ follower. 1 Corinthians 2:11, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the spirit of God." This is that what's at work that's inside of us. Just going to skip ahead here a little bit. I want to tell you a story to end things off, and I'll give you one little challenge, and we'll call it a day. It's a current whispering of the Lord in my life. I don't know what to do with this particular whispering, but in the first service today, someone came up and said, there's something about it because they're going to add the next point onto this list for me today. When I was in Bible college in 1996, we went on a mission trip to northern Manitoba, and my particular group went to Nelson House Reserve. Went to Nelson House, and had just a fabulous time. We just kind of dropped off, and we stayed with the chief of police, who was a Christian, and we got to deal with all sorts of things, including, like, someone took a sawed-off shotgun and was filled with alcohol and took off in the bush, and so they're like, we got to go find him, and I'm like, what in the world? So we're going to go find a guy with a gun in the bush, and we didn't know, but this fabulous thing as we began, like, prayer and intercession just immediately began as we went, and we helped this man, and just, it was lovely. Well, in 1998, Kendra and I decided we were running a youth group. We'd just been married. We were going to bring a group. We wanted to do a mission trip, but something that was cheap. So we said, we're going to go up north because we knew some of the people in Nelson House. Made contact with Midway Bible Camp, said, can we come stay there, hang out with you guys, like, when we're not doing in Nelson House, and then we'll go to Nelson House and we're going to do a VBS. So zipped out to Nelson House during the day, and we would go into the community, and all we yelled as we're going through the community is, Bible study, top of the hill, Bible study, top of the hill, and kids didn't even tell their parents, they just ran to the top of the hill. And we met in this living room that was like, honestly, like this size of this little corner, and 60 kids, plus our team and us singing and our crafts and everything, we just jammed them in, and every day, like, more wanted to be in the room. It was awesome. There's this whispering of, like, Donovan, do you see the hunger in the people? And then after, all the high school kids were outside, and they had a basketball court out there, and they just waited for when we were done. The first day, we were done. We're hanging out with the kids, and I saw a few kids. We just went and shot hoops. The next day, the high school kids were waiting in the courtyard or on the basketball court, waiting for us to show up because they wanted to play ball. And there was a lot of high school kids every day, more and more and more. And God is doing this little gentle whisper, don't forget. Before we left, there was one of the people on the council in the reserve said, Donovan, do you see that trailer, that house trailer? We want to give it to you. You can move up here. You can come live here. You can live there for free. We want you in our community. This was blowing my mind because I was like, wait a second, like, I thought I wasn't really allowed to, or they wouldn't want you to, or whatever your ideas were. I was like, that is unbelievable. We didn't think we were supposed to be there, but it was like this thought of, like, don't forget about the North. Since that time, your spidey senses are on, or you're listening for the Spirit and all sorts of things, and I've heard many times that people said there's going to be a revival that's going to start in the center of Canada and spread across the land, which is awesome. But I've also heard when people are praying that there's something that's going to birth in the North, and that's where revival is going to come and sweep through the land. I don't know what it is, but you write it down. You say, God, would you show, what is it? And it's like his reminder, his gentle whisper. 2014, someone came and prophesied to me, sent me a prophetic word. Said, Donovan, all the work that you've done until now, everything you've done, and they don't know anything about what was going on with me. All the work you've done now is like a cakewalk or a walk in the park, sorry. And what God is about to call you to is going to be the hardest challenge you've ever had in your life, and it's going to be to the North. I was like, that is so strange because I don't even know what that looks like. It wasn't something God was speaking to me necessarily. It was just, okay, God, there's something. There's a whisper, and I just wrote it down. That same year, I was asked to join a group of First Nations pastors going to Korea. Why did I get asked? I'm not a First Nation. I'm not Indigenous. But my friend who oversees almost all the reserve pastors in Manitoba and in northwestern Ontario, we became friends, and he invited me to come as a discipleship guy on this trip. And the Koreans and the First Nations people of Canada, they believe that they are linked or brothers and sisters because when the Bering Strait was together, they figured that was the connection. And so they have this connect between the two of them. And I go to Korea, and I got to hang out with, like, I don't know, 45 or 50 Canadian Indigenous pastors. How in the world? And it's like this little whisper, and God's like, don't forget. On that trip, the man's son, who I know, who lives in Fairford Reserve, his son Marty, came on the trip with us. He was not following the Lord. But Marty came, and him and I were roommates. That was kind of the secret plan. I came as the discipleship pastor and learned really quick that I was there for a different reason. I was there for the rebellious son. I was the bishop, he was the Augustine. And this last year, 2019, that particular guy, Marty, Pastor Marty, planted a church. He works full-time elsewhere doing education to the northern communities, and he planted a church here in Winnipeg for Indigenous people. I don't know why God reminds. Short time later, I got invited to an acquaintance's office, and he's a construction company, and he said, we've made all of our money in the north, and we want to see a move of God there, and we want to fund a move of God. So if you're going to be a part of something out there, we don't know who to give to because we're not sure we're seeing stuff happen, but if you're a part of it, I want you to know that we want to help you financially in the north. You're like, what? How? A little whisper, don't forget. Move to Winnipeg, we come here. The Lord, this is where we've known that we're going to come for a long time, and you're going to plant churches. And so as we're working on raising up leaders, and what does that look like? And God, help us to be honest and real. And then he just whispers into your soul, don't forget about the north. That's it. What do you do with that? What do you do? Do I just leave and go? Do I tell you to go? Actually, we wait and say, God, would you make it clear? We go and we ask him questions. And God, what is your heart? And what do you see? And what does this look like? And he begins to do this working inside. I had someone who came after the service, and her father was born on reserve there, Indigenous, and she said that she loves God, and she was given a vision from the Lord about the North and what her and her family were going to participate in. They didn't know why they'd come to Anchor Point some weeks ago and made this their home church. Said, now we know why. We don't know what the Lord is doing, but we want you to know that what you spoke about this, God has already been speaking. Another person came to me, happened to be my sister, and she said, this is Daryl's wife, and said, always I've had this burden for the North, and I don't know why I've had this burden for the North. And I'm like, that's so strange. She's my sister, and we've never talked about it. And it's like, God, what are you doing? Now, we're here. I don't know what that looks like, but don't forget the North. So I don't know what the Lord is doing, but maybe there's something. Why do I tell you it? Don't ignore the whispers. I think many of us have had these like whispers of God. We don't know what to do with it, so sometimes we just bolt ahead and we just do it. Sometimes we just ignore it and do nothing. I think what we get to do is if it is God speaking, he will fulfill it. Our job is every day obey. And when God begins to whisper, I think just jot it down. God, what is it you're saying? I think some of you need to go home today and go, God, have you been whispering something over the years for me? And just jot it down. God, would you show me? God, are there things that you've been trying to remind me from when I was already a child? Things that you were doing, and I'm wondering if God has been whispering to many of us already. God chose to speak in a variety of different ways on all sorts of different things. Our job, we get to seek him and serve him and live for him and say, God, what do you have today? Because he's faithful and he'll fulfill what he set out to do. My challenge for you, go sit with the Lord and ask him if he's been trying to stir and whisper something in your heart for years. If you get nothing, ask the Lord, is there something he wants to whisper to you to begin to have your heart and mind begin to walk down this road? And the second thing I think you can do is ask him a ton of questions. Ask him for wisdom. God, what are you saying? God, what are you showing? Ask him, because he wants to give you wisdom on how to walk it through. Church, I don't know who moves in there. I don't know who moves up north. I don't know who's supposed to move into this community or come to this church or who's going to go plant church. I don't know. But the Spirit of God is at work, and he's the one stirring and breathing. And it's not finding fault in people saying, you're not qualified, you're not because of this. No, no. He gives wisdom, doesn't even matter on the faults that are in there. Then we turn our eyes, he says, come on. And he begins to walk with you. He says, come on. And he's leading you. If it takes a year or five or 30, doesn't matter. And you say, yeah, okay, God, I'm in. So let me pray, and then we'll close off in a song of worship. God, I don't know how else to describe your Spirit at work except today. Like, there's a burning inside. You know that it's you. There's a sense, God. There's a feeling that it's, I don't know how to describe it except for it to be experienced. And so, God, I just ask that there would be enough of a hunger in each of us that we would, even at night, have the courage to say, God, I would love to hear you speak even in my dream. God, would you make it clear? Or maybe we need to sit with him and just say, God, If you could hang out with me for one day all alone anywhere in the world, where would you take me and why? And just wait and see if he shows you something. Maybe it's, God, help me to open the word and see. Even the open and point, like he spoke to Augustine that way. Crazy. But God, would our spirits, would our innermost part be attentive to you? And would we respond that way to you, God? Thank you for your still small voice. Thank you that because it's a small voice, that even when we're in a situation that isn't good, or we're in a business meeting, or we're with people that don't know you, it's not like you have to like bust in a room and write on the wall every time. It's like in the innermost part, we can be receiving wisdom from you as we're driving, as we're in conversation, as we're ministering to someone, as we're at work. This is the brilliance of your spirit indwelt speaking to us. Thank you. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for directing us, God. We love you so much. Thank you for this morning. Amen.